Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Cholentani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I am your host, Lauren, and you are listening to episode 81, Healthy Long Life with Daniel E. Kennedy. And I'm so excited to bring you the first episode of the latest season. And this season, we've got an amazing slew of guests. But today's guest, kicking off the season right, is Daniel Kennedy. And his philosophy is simple. It's not good enough to live a long and sick life when there's an opportunity to live a healthy, long life. Now, our guest today, Daniel, is a creator and director of Healthy Long Life, a docuseries on Amazon, totally free if you have Prime. And you'll learn more about Daniel in a minute, but he is a healthcare executive, counselor, author, filmmaker, and his passion for disease prevention was ignited professionally while working with thousands of cancer patients and personally by witnessing the cancer and heart-related disease deaths of his own grandmother, uncle, aunt, and father. Through the process of writing and host-writing over 15 books on cancer and heart health, Daniel honed the skills necessary to create, write, and direct the 8-episode Healthy Long Life documentary series. His relationships with researchers and clinicians developed over the last 3 decades has given him access to the world's top experts on healthy life expectancy. More on what we talk about in today's show is how Daniel came to create this docuseries on Amazon called Healthy Long Life. Daniel's own story of loss turned into a mission of healthy long living, not only for himself, but to help other people. Stories of stress-free, healthy living, and this does not mean being lazy. Oasis of Hope Hospital. Balance between eating healthy and healthy soul care. Can being in the present moment really impact your healthy long life? So what does the one thing, all of these blue zones, which are high populations of people over 100 years old, all around the world, all have in common? And how your healthy choices you make today impact generations to come? And so much more. I don't want to give anything else away. I want you guys to jump into the episode. Please enjoy episode 81, Healthy Long Life with Daniel E. Kennedy. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. Again, I am your host, Lauren, and this is a show you get to learn your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And today we have the amazing Daniel Kennedy here, and we will definitely be learning how our bodies are not in the way today, let me tell you. A short little bio about Daniel before we get started. Most people live the last 10 years of their life suffering from sickness and high medical bills. But Daniel Kennedy says that doesn't have to be your fate. And he is here to share tips on how to live a long and healthy life. He's a counselor for cancer patients, author of the book, The Art and Science of Undermining Cancer, and also a filmmaker who has traveled all around the world uncovering health and longevity secrets. You can actually watch this really cool new documentary series called Healthy Long Life on Amazon Prime. And when we're recording this is still in 2020, but early 2021, there'll be new episodes, if you will, parts of the docuseries that will be released. I'm so excited to talk all things healthy long life. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Well, Lauren, it is such a pleasure to join you today. And we get to talk about stuff that we love, but honestly, underneath that is the love of people, you know, and I really don't care what your political party is. I don't care whether you voted or not for the incoming president. I don't care what religion you are, where you come from. If you've got a pulse, I want to help you live a healthy, long life.
Yep. And I found that the more that you find yourself and your health and your wellness, the more that we want to give. And that comes from a very grounded, heart-centered place. But I want to know how did Daniel get there? I mean, I know we all have our own beautiful awakening, health awakenings, if you will, that little synchronicities led us to where we are today. But I know that your docuseries is just a snippet of what you've done in your beautiful career. Could you kind of lead us through how you got to doing the work that you do today?
You know, I have two primary motivations behind filming Healthy Long Life. One is a professional motivation, but it really started with a personal motivation. So let's go back to when I was a little kid. My grandmother died of ovarian cancer. My grandma Kennedy, she died of ovarian cancer when I was 8 years old. My grandfather did live a long life, but he has Alzheimer's. So the last 15 years of his life, spent, you know, I was visiting him and I would share memories with him and he'd smile very lovingly and he'd just say, "You don't say," because he didn't remember, but he still enjoyed the visit. My grandparents had three kids. My Uncle Roger was the eldest. My dad was the middle child, David. And then they had a baby sister, which was Patricia. Uncle Roger died of pancreatic cancer. My dad had renal cancer, but survived because the tumor was encapsulated in his kidney. They removed it, and he went on to live another like 22 years, which was great. But he died last year of congestive heart failure. But still, two out of two kids had cancer, just like mom. Well, early June, Aunt Patricia died of stage 4 melanoma. And I was driving up from San Diego to her home in Laguna, and I was bringing her, you know, fresh blueberries and green juices and mostly just loving on her as much as I could. So Patricia never did have kids, but between Roger and David, now everybody's like part of my family because we're on first name basis, right? And they had five kids, including me. I'm the youngest of the five. So the eldest cousin, David, has cancer. It's in remission right now, but he's dealing with cancer. His sister, Sherry, does not have cancer. Sean doesn't have cancer. My sister, Carmen, does not. I don't have it. But imagine that grandma dies of cancer, her three kids have cancer, and the first of five cousins have cancer. And I'm thinking, this is not what I want to pass on. I want to help my wife prevent cancer. I want my two daughters and my future grandchildren to live without cancer and heart disease and to be diabetes and obesity, which is the gateway illness to all of those. Professionally, very different story. I am the first grandson of a man named Ernesto Contreras. And if you will Google Ernesto Contreras, you're going to go, "What? That is the guy who started alternative cancer treatment in Mexico. That is the biggest quack," they used to call him. And now he's just the OG, original grandfather of alternative medicine. And he was the first guy in the early 1960s to do holistic medicine, body, mind, and spirit. And I've been running his hospital since 1993, so for 23 years. And I'm a counselor. Technically, I am a psychosocial oncology cancer, you know, counselor, specializing in cancer. And I've counseled thousands and thousands of patients. And it's been very emotional for me and heartbreaking and rewarding. And I realize, you know, all of these patients, they just share their burden. They're like, "I don't want my loved ones to have cancer. What are you doing on the side of prevention?" And I said, "I'm going to get off my duff and I'm going to tour the world and I'm going to see, do we really have to be a victim of our genes? Or are there things that we can do that can override genetic tendencies toward disease?" And that is my professional and my personal motivation.
Yeah, there's always so much more of that personal behind the professional. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And I do feel like I'm just part of your family. I feel like there's a lot of Davids in there. Yes. My partner is also David. And I'm like, "David, wait, why are you talking about my David?" We all have this huge fear of death. And I think that is probably the biggest motivator in a positive and maybe sometimes negative way. And it's enough to shake you awake and want to help people in the further generations after you. And what we're seeing right now is these baby boomers, a lot of them, going through this now. What, you know, we get this gloom and doom, and if you look around you, you know, especially right now with COVID, everybody's just the COVID-15 or whatever they call it, not eating as healthy, not taking care of themselves as well as they might.
I thought it was the COVID-20.
I'm thinking freshman 15 or whatever it is. I don't know.
It might be 15 for you, 20 for me. No, I'm joking. But, you know, I'm going to go off a script just a little bit. I'm going to digress away from healthy long life.
Yeah.
And address your statement. You know, people are really afraid to die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're probably way too young to remember this, but there's this amazing movie called Patch Adams that's starring Robin Williams. And it's about this doctor who was using laughter as medicine. And the real Patch Adams was a really good friend of my grandfather, Ernesto Contreras. And Patch, you know, said, Ernesto completely influenced me in medical school to change toward using laughter therapy and holistic. And I'm like, my grandpa inspired Patch. That's crazy. And so I asked Patch, because he invited me over to his apartment in Arlington, West Virginia. And we were sitting on the ground because he doesn't believe in spending money on furniture. He had a fax machine on the ground and he would write letters by fax machine. So I said, Patch, you know, what would you say to patients at my hospital? Because, you know, people are afraid of dying. And he said, death? Why is that a tragedy? Death is to be embraced like birth is. The real tragedy is the death in living. And people are going through life like zombies, and they are not taking a moment to drink lemonade and hold it up and say, thank you, universe, for this delicious lemonade. And it challenged me. And I was thinking, you know, wow. And so I carried that forward. And as I'm going around the world, one of our stops was the Blue Zone, Sardinia, that has more men over the age of 100 years old than any other place in the world. And in fact, many women over the age of 100. And so I was asking, you know, this one gentleman who was 96 years old, we go into his bar where he works every day. He also grows his own food on the family farm. And since we were in the bar, I'm like, yeah, serve it up. So this, you know, sweet old Sardinian Italian man makes us the best espresso coffee, you know, made with love. And I'm like, you know, how do you do it? And he's just like, every morning I wake up and I pray to God for the blessing of a good day. And I embrace my family and I work. There's never a day that I don't work. And he was just chilling. He's in his 90s and he's working and he's relaxed and there's no stress. And I flash back to Patch and I'm like, now this is a man named Adolfo Melis. This is a man who's wide awake and he's not missing any moment. And later his son came in and his grandkids came in and his little brother, who was 92 years old. And then they showed us around. They had this plaque up on the wall from the Guinness Book of World Records. And they had been recognized for having if you added up the ages of brothers and sisters that were living at the time, it was 832 combined years. And it's like, this is crazy. So they had like a sister that was 102 and a brother that was, this is like, wow. But they were all together and they were working together. The brothers and sisters all lived in the same little town there. And so, you know, I realized that one of the keys to living a healthy long life versus a long life. You can live a long life and be very sick like my family, or you can live a healthy long life like the Melis. And one of the key things to that is that they had their spiritual connection and they had their connection to family and friends. And their social network had zero to do with the horrible social media that we use. I say horrible because everybody's just bickering there. All I am saying, just give peace a chance.
Oh my goodness, 100%. And I think of, you know, this quote my dad used to tell me while I was playing sports growing up, you know, are you playing to lose or are you playing to win? You know, are we living to die? Are we living to live?
And absolutely. And, you know, I'd say back to your dad too, is like, are we playing to win or playing to lose or playing to win? Or are we just playing?
Yeah, we're just playing. Yeah.
I mean, can't we just play?
So exactly. I'm totally with you on that one. Yeah, Ken, I think that's one of the longevity secrets, if we're being honest. Play to just play.
If we can, you know, in my workplace, I work at Oasis of Hope Hospital, and, you know, we're treating patients with cancer. We try as a staff to laugh throughout the day, and we try and make it contagious, and we invite our patients back to life. Because when people get diagnosed with cancer, they just think it's a death sentence. Many people do, and they stop living. And we're like, whoa, hey, ho, no. Let's live. And we do crazy things. Like, we do art therapy, but we also once a week just play bingo with our patients. And we do sing-alongs, and we have like this cooking bar. I think it's so cool that we're teaching our patients how to do food prep of healing foods, because there's two messages going through to our patients. One is that food can heal, and nutrients can turn off cancer mutated genes. There's all the science. And in my documentary series, numerous experts explain that, like Michael Greger of How Not to Die. I have him in there. It's like incredible. And Dean Ornish talks about that, and Dr. Michael Clapper as well. So you get all this incredible information. So we're teaching our patients that, not only in a lecture, but in hands-on, let's cook and let's eat something delicious. And we actually have a rooftop garden where we take them out, where we teach them how to plant and pick their food. But the second message is, you may have cancer, but you have a future. If you didn't have a future, we wouldn't be teaching you how to cook. And so you're going to cook for yourself, and then you're going to show your family how to cook, and then you're going to show your grandkids how to cook. And so we're really talking about the future as well. So I was able to take a lot of the experiences from filming Healthy Long Life and make sure that at the hospital, our treatment experience, I could align what I learned and bring it back to the hospital to give the best possible life-embracing experience to people that do have cancer. But we have a chance to influence their family members that don't have cancer.
100%. And for me, what I've learned along the way with my healthy journey, and we were talking off air, like, this docuseries is the binge-worthy stuff that we need to be watching, right?
And it's true. I had mentioned to you that if you watch it back-to-back, which you can, because it's so varied and there's so much different content, there are a few experts talking, but then we have chefs, like this chef in China that just makes this incredible dish, and then somebody in Mexico cooking traditional dishes. And we even went to Le Cordon Bleu in Paris, where a two Michelin star chef, Eric Briffard, took us on the rooftop garden at Le Cordon Bleu in downtown Paris. It's the largest rooftop garden, and takes us down and makes this incredible dish. And, you know, we used to think Le Cordon Bleu is about butter, 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 and all this unhealthy stuff. But he was telling me about how he gathered with other chefs like the famous Alain Ducasse, and they signed a pact to promote sustainability in their cooking. And they're starting to get into nutrition. You know, we had all of these varied experiences, and we filmed like this traditional dance in India with these beautiful three instruments playing while this dancer was interpreting. And I found out later that we were literally in a Bollywood studio. I didn't know it till we were there, because it was like some shack behind another. But I mean, even studios in Hollywood, there's lots of little holes in the wall, right? So you can watch it like back to back, and it's almost 5.5 hours. But we filmed 110 hours. So you can imagine all that we really learned. So we still have a lot more to share, but we held ourselves to 8 episodes in 5.5 hours.
Wow, that is concise.
It's like really distilled, you know? Yeah. So you get the real, the top stuff, and you binge it because it's all great stuff. You know, we cut 105 hours out, leaving you just the absolute best of the best.
And I will have to say, as a follow-up to that, if you get inspired by what somebody has to say in that show, what Daniel has with his company, his hospital, follow up, you know, read the book, take the course, you know, get a coach, whatever you feel called to do, take that inspired action. Cause that's, for me, that's where intuition, you know, speaks to me. And I was telling Daniel off air, I think I watched, you know, Food Matters, all those different documentaries years ago, Supersize Me. And that's what led me here today. Like, you never know what those little steps take you now, 5-10 years ago or 5-10 years ahead from now. And what I've also learned is just because I'm eating, and this is a phrase I use, is just because I ate my body's weight in kale, which used to be, you know, the godsend of superfoods for a while, doesn't mean I'm actually going to feel better. What's equally as important in my, and what I've found, is nourishing your mind, body, and soul. And if we're still stuck in that state of fight or flight, and we're eating healthy foods, they might help to an extent, but we need to learn to, you know, to go inward. And you kind of spoke with the Italian village and the siblings that had the over 830 some combined years, that spiritual aspect. But, you know, all it boils down to with me is just to be present, you know, and before we eat a meal, we just take a few seconds in our household and just breathe, close our eyes and take at least three to five deep breaths and just slow down. And it can be that simple, really.
I mean, I have so much to just reflect back to you. I don't even know where to start.
I'm sure you do.
you touched on a few like things that are really central to our docuseries and also my belief system. But the first thing I want to talk back about is you said follow up. If you're inspired, follow up. And I had that in mind. So I built out the website, healthylonglife.com, same name as our docuseries, same name as our free cooking app for iOS and Android, Healthy Long Life. So healthylonglife.com is there as a resource. And I have a button that says personalities, and it gives the bio, but it also gives the link to the website or the social media of every single person that appears in the documentary series. So whoever you connected with, go to Healthy Long Life and you can literally connect with them. And as I was, you know, going out around the world, I made this kind of filmmaker pact with myself, which was, I'm not going to preach my truth and my reality. I'm going to document what is out there. And I'm going to serve up to the viewer the variations of what I found, even some conflicting information, because I trust that you, the viewer, have a brain and you will engage it and you will make your own decisions. And, you know, you're going to go to this Healthy Long Life buffet of a documentary series and choose the things that your intuition says, that's for me. I really believe that we all have some different needs and we all come into a different balance. And so that I wanted to do that. And I thought, yeah, but people are going to need to follow up. I don't think that my docuseries is going to change anybody's life radically. That's not my aspiration. My hope is that it will give you a little nudge to go look for yourself and find your answers. I found my answers. I share them in Healthy Long Life. And I give like this outstretched hand saying, hey, you're welcome. Come see what there is. What does your intuition tell you? Link onto my website and find more resources. The other thing I was going to tell you is, well, I did have my kale today and I did feel better.
Me too. Full disclaimer.
But it's part. It's part of it. And what you were saying about, you know, being present and in the moment, it takes me to our episode in Japan. And, you know, in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm what's called a born-again Christian. And one of the most touching and inspiring interviews that I did was with the deputy chief Buddhist priest in Kyoto, whose family for five generations was caring for this temple. And I was with priest Takafumi, and we connected so well. And he was talking about being present. But as a whole in the culture, like you were talking, before you eat, you take a moment. In Japan, nobody digs right in. And you know, we see Americans always think that this means thank you. Well, that is only true in India. Nobody in Japan does this to say thank you. Never. So you just learned that right now. Well, let's see. If this is a podcast, you got to hear it. Okay. I did the praying hands in front of me and a bow. That is thank you in India. It is not in Japan, but there is one moment that they do that in Japan, and really only one moment, and that's right before a meal, and they express their gratitude, and they have the praying hands, and they bow, and they say, itadakimasu, which means thank you for this meal, but it's kind of like a blessing as well. So they take that moment, and I think the thing that the priest in Kyoto said that was the most important is, especially Westerners, we're always labeling things as good or bad. And he said, we need to learn to embrace all of it because you grow so much through difficult times. He wasn't saying that there wasn't bad times, but he said we should just learn to appreciate them just as much as the easy times. And so that's really important. When I first started filming, I had a working title that was different. This documentary series was not named Healthy Long Life until about half of the way through. I started out because I'm like a really huge fan of all things whole food, plant-based. I mean, I am a fan of Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, and I'm a big nerdy, dorky fan of T. Colin Campbell, who wrote the China study. And so I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to find. The secret's going to be these plant-based diets. So my documentary series is going to be called Eating Well, Living Long. Catchy title, Eating Well, Living Long. And I go around, and in Sardinia, they're eating goat cheese. And the specialty is minestrone longevity soup with pork in it. And at weddings, they have like baby suckling pigs on a spit. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? This is the centenarian capital of the world. There's more people 100 years old living healthy, and they're eating pig and goat cheese. Oh my God, what am I? I'm stuck. And what I realized was they have this balance that we just don't have in the Western culture. They're not eating goat every single meal. Their goat cheese, they make it the day they eat it. And, you know, goat cheese has very limited amounts of the protein called caseins, which is related to cancer. So it's different than cow milk, but they're making it, and their serving sizes are ridiculously small. Their full meal is like, was that the appetizer? No, we're done. Like, wait, that was just like a thimble full of coffee. Like, you know, I need the venti, no, the trenti. What's going on here? And that suckling pig is eaten like once a year, just like at a wedding celebration. So they have this lifestyle of moderation. And so even if they're eating animal product, it's just like a fraction of what we eat. But then they're active. They're growing their own food. There's literally, in Sardinia, there's not grocery stores. All the families are growing in their gardens, you know, and they might have to go to a major city when, you know, get some supplies that you're not going to make yourself. But they're all growing their own produce. They've got their own animals for their goat milk, and then they're active. So we were driving from town to town to film, and we were 3 miles out of town up in the Grand Mountains, about 4,000 feet altitude. And we came to a stop and we were stuck for 20 minutes because the elderly men of the next village over were getting their sheep to bring them back in for the evening. And so we had to drive another 3 miles to get to the next village. And I'm like, hey, what was up with that? And they're like, oh yeah, that's what the men do every day. In the morning, they go up and leave the sheep and the goats to graze. So they walk up 3 miles, they walk back, and then they hang out with each other in the afternoon and work their farms. And then in the evening, they go up again 3 miles and back. So these guys were, the kid in the group was 80. And some of them were 90, and they're walking 12 miles in the mountains, not 12 flat miles, mountainous miles every day, like ain't no thing. I'm like, this is key. So maybe they eat some animal product, but they burn it off. They earn it. But also they are not processing those animals in cruel situations. They let them, you know, go and roam, and they value them because they're producing their milk for their cheese. So they're not just, you know, killing animals all the time. It's a cultural thing. I know it's really, you know, I have a hard time eating animals because I love my daughter's dog. And I mean, to me, I can't look in the eyes of the dog and then feel like super good about eating animal product. But lots of cultures, you know, they're going to, you can't really argue with a whole culture that has survived for thousands of years and they become the longevity capital of the world. It's better to not try to change them, but to try to learn from them.
Well said. And I think culturally, bio-individuality, you know, you kind of touched on it before on how you created your docuseries is, you know, for me, plant-based diet works great. Almost gluten-free, occasionally not. You know, that for me feels really, really, really good. Other people, it might, but it, as you said, people dropping those little droplets of inspiration and seeing where those ripples come out in your own life is what this is all about. But the bigger gist of it all is you're learning how to override these bad genes with these good lifestyle choices. Could you kind of talk to us more about that, what you guys saw maybe in the science side of it all? Because I mean, lifestyle choices, whether it's diet, I'm really into meditation and how that actually can affect your immune system and gene mutation. There's a ton of research out there. I would love to hear what you found over the 4 years that you guys filmed this.
Yeah, it was 4 years. Yeah. We probably could have done it in a year and a half, but I was still working full time and I still am at Oasis of Hope Hospital. So, you know, to pick up and go off to India is a lot of planning, a lot of work. But I did find a lot of science in, and it's mostly because I pursued just top research organizations. So we had a chance to interview the director of nutrition for the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. And he absolutely talked about lifestyle medicine and said that the plant-based diet and the Mediterranean diet seem to be getting the best results. So Mediterranean diet does have some animal product and some olive oil in it. And plant-based people are not about the oil at all because oil is an extract, so it's not a whole food. So they want you to get your fats from whole food sources like nuts and avocados and things like that. But then I went to the Max Planck Institute in Germany to the Department of Aging. And that's where I kind of got the first studies where they're actually doing the test, you know. So lots of people say, well, I've researched this a lot. And it's like, no, you just read publications. That's just gathering information. And I am not a researcher. I am an information gatherer. And I distill it and then I make it understandable to the general public. So I consider myself to be like a translator from the medical to the general understandings of health. But there I interviewed a researcher named Sebastian Gronke, and he's made a statement that I found out by, as I continue to do interviews around the world, was the one thing that all of the experts agree on. And that was really hard to find, because some people like Caldwell Esselstyn are like, even olive oil will mess up your epithelial cells and lead to cardiovascular disease. So not even that. But then I'm talking to an expert in Italy, and it's like, oh, the polyphenols are so heart protective of all of, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm confused, right? There's one thing, and you're going to hear it right now on Lauren's podcast. Drum roll, please. What absolutely leads to a healthy long life is caloric restriction. And so I want to really say, well, what is caloric restriction? First, it's eat less. But, you know, there are proponents of health that say you don't have to eat less. You can eat vast amounts of foods if you're eating the healthy foods. And I'm like, yeah. And that does not negate what I just said, caloric restriction. Because if you eat a cup full of donuts and you eat a cup full of kale, you're still eating a cup full, right? But it's just like, what weighs more, a pound of bricks or a pound of feathers? And people are like, a pound of bricks. No, it's a pound. They're both a pound. All right. So the kale and the donuts, they're both a cup. But the kale, a cup of kale is, if it gets over 25 calories, that'd be a lot. That's some good kale. You got to share that with me. But about a cup of donuts, you know, you're few hundred calories, probably 600 to 700 if it's a good donut. If you're eating the healthier foods that are low on the glycemic index, you can have very sizable meals, but your calories are very low. And we can live on a lot less calories than what's preached. We've been raised that we have to have 2,000 calories a day, but the average person really can do quite well under 1,500, and you feel lighter. Now, you talked, and I know it's really important to you, Lauren, about your emotional health and your spiritual well-being. The crazy thing is that that all starts with your diet, because your gut is the manufacturer of serotonin. And so depression doesn't really start in your brain. Depression starts in the gut. And if you don't have a healthy microbiome, you're going to find yourself feeling depressed. And if people say, well, your depression's all in your head. Nope, it's not. It's in your gut.
1,000%. Yes. I also, what I found, I don't know if you found this too, is with the restricted calories, it's also the intermittent fasting. And I find all different types of fasting, that concept really interesting. What researcher, I guess you are the translator between communities, did you find on that?
Yeah, so I didn't really ask about that topic, though I do have quite a bit of information on it. But that is not so much what the experts were talking about. I think it has its place, but I also think it's a little bit of a fad right now, because in the longevity capitals, I guarantee you they're not intermittently fasting, but they're working so much out of the fields that they're not able to just snack all day long like we do. So then that makes these natural pauses. And, you know, most of the experts are going against, it used to be this kind of new fad, like you should be eating small amounts all day long. You should have 5 meals. You should have 9 meals. And now the experts are saying, nope, your body needs to rest. In fact, it's really great if you could give your body 16 to 20 hours of rest, you know, and have this tiny window that you're eating and you don't overeat. But I'll apply it like my, like what is my nutritional jam? That's almost a pun, right? Jam and jelly. Okay.
Oh. So puns are welcome. Puns are welcome.
Oh no, I can't believe I said that. But you know, kind of like what my flow and my groove. When I'm living my best life, because sometimes when I go on vacation, if you want to take photos and post on social media, it's like, that guy just ate something he said he never would. Well, I didn't say I wouldn't. I just said, when I'm living my best life, I'm going to be plant-based and I'm going to stop eating before 7 p.m. and not start eating till 11 a.m. And it's hard at first, but then it just becomes your rhythm and it's like super easy. And then my first meal is going to be really light and it's usually kale and blueberries, to be honest. That's like my addiction in the morning. And that works for me. And so how does that work for me? Well, I'm in my 50s and I am not taking any kind of medication. And that was my goal because as I was nearing my 50s, I was pre-diabetic. My cholesterol was, you know, more like 300, way over the limit. My triglycerides were crazy. So high glucose, high triglycerides, high cholesterol. And the doctors all saying, well, you're at that age. It's time to get you on Lipitor. I won't even mention Viagra. I just said it. You know, like all those medications will be a part of a 50-something, well, now even a 40-something male's life if you're eating the standard American diet, just straight up. In fact, the incidence of breast cancer is growing in men because of estrogen dominance. And it's like, well, what do you mean estrogen dominance? I don't have ovaries. Sorry to advise you, but estrogen is always also produced in men's body in the fatty tissue. So the more you're gaining weight and have fatty tissue, the more likely you are to have breast cancer and the more likely you are to have erectile dysfunction and things of that sort. And if you go over to a plant base and you get rid of the oils and you get rid of the refined flours and you get rid of the sugars and you get rid of the salt, all of a sudden you turn it around, like in my life, and you have a normal cholesterol and you have a normal healthy glucose and no problems with triglycerides and no pharmaceutical bills. So people are like, oh, well, that organic food is more expensive. No, the most expensive thing that you can do is get sick. How do I know? Because my dad was sick. You know, you look at his social planner, it's like, oh, you must be a very influential man, dad. All your appointments are with doctors. Well, no, that's because he was a client, not visiting for social reasons. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be your fate. We do live in a broken world, so you can do everything perfectly and still get a disease, but you can lower your risk so much just by lifestyle. And, you know, as you brought up, Lauren, stress management, so important.
So important. And for me, what brought me to eating a healthier diet, I was plant-based since high school. But it wasn't until after I graduated, and you can still eat plant-based and not healthy because it was a vegan / vegetarian diet for years, but all the processed gunk.
French fries, pizza, all the pasta,
you know.
That's all vegan.
Yeah. I was on that train. Just like everybody has the COVID 15 or 20, whatever it is, I had that plus more from college. But like you said, my gut was so messed up. Horrible anxiety, depression, stress, you know, everything from that. And cleaning up my diet and actually eating a real plant-based diet and starting to move my body. Like I tell people, I was so anxious, I couldn't even go to a yoga class because the anticipation of like not knowing what they're going to tell me to do next was like too anxiety prone to me. So I feel you. And I have good days, I have bad days. You know, when I'm living my best life, it's on. But you never know how good you can feel until you feel it. You don't realize how clogged up everything is, even mentally.
Yeah, I'm so in agreement with you. And it's only been 2 years since I'm off of Diet Coke. You know, and everything labeled diet or, you know, it's just food marketing, right? And so I'm drinking Diet Coke to not have all the sugar or whatever. And when I finally was able to leave Diet Coke, I also left my habit of taking two Tylenol at least 3 times a week for stress headaches. And I always just thought, well, you're a CEO of a hospital and it's very stressful. And all CEOs are dealing with stress headaches because we're just working harder than just anybody. Nope, it was Diet Coke. And I'm like, oh my God, literally I could have been headache free for the last 15 years of my life. Are you kidding me? I've had 3 headaches a week for the last 15 years. And I thought it was stress. And all I had to do was cut that out. And there's so many foods that are making you feel so terrible. And you don't know it until you leave those unhealthy foods. And today, I don't want to, you know, shame you into making changes or browbeat you into making changes. I want to say, give it a try and embrace it. I was a pastor of a church, and we would start every year off with the Daniel Fast. And it's basically, you know, going plant-based for 21 days. And we would pray. And I'd have all these people come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, I'm feeling so well. My stomach doesn't hurt anymore. My back pain has gone away. I haven't had so much energy in so long. You know, and at the end of 21 days, well, we're Mexican. And so they wanted to have a carne asada, a barbecue to celebrate the end of the healthy eating. And I was like, oh God, not like an expression, like a literal prayer. Oh God, why are we so stubborn? You know, and I think it is the few people that will give health a chance before they get a deadly disease. When people get a deadly disease, oh, what do I have to do to, I'll change, you know. But you have this opportunity to do it now. And what I like to say is, you know, one of my motivating factors is one day I'm hopefully going to be a grandfather, and I want to be the granddad that's out there teaching my grandkid how to surf. And I don't know how to surf yet, so I guess I'll have to learn how. But I want to be that granddad. I don't want to be the granddad that is, you know, unable to move. And well, let's sit the kid up in his lap. And that's how, you know, my dad was. And that's how my grandfather was. So I'm definitely not looking down on that because I love them so much. But I would like to do something different with my life. And if you're listening to this and you also want to do that, you know, keep listening to Lauren. She's bringing you great information. And if you want to visit my website, healthylonglife.com, you can go there and there's a button that says watch now. It'll take you right to the documentary series. And I'm there's a button where you can get the download for free to my cooking recipe app. And I'm just about to add my latest book called The Art and Science of Undermining Cancer that tells you about all of the treatment that we do at Oasis of Hope Hospital. So all you have to do is healthylonglife.com, and you can follow us on social media from there. So you don't have to remember more than that.
And I'll be linked in the show notes. Easy peasy, one click. That is, you know, the beauty of the interwebs that we have today.
It is.
And there's just, you know, I am about the same age as the internet, late 80s baby. So, you know, I really grew up with it. And it's just amazing that we have all this wealth of information at our fingertips. So, I mean, talk about podcasts, all the health and wellness podcasts, YouTubes, docuseries, everything that there is for you to learn, you know. There's always going to be an excuse. I'm not trying to shame anybody, but I was talking to myself, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. Da, 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 da. If you want to make the change, you can make it work. You know, you are worth it.
You can. And, you know, I'm at least 20 years older than you, which means I'm 20 years in the future.
Yeah.
And I'm talking back to the past, which, you know, you're 20 years behind me, and I'm telling you, it can be good up here in the 50s, in the 60s, in your 70s. It can be good. But, you know, Lauren, you're at that decisive moment where you can make the change. And I don't know if you're a mom or not, but I want to share with you this exciting news. When I was at Max Planck Institute, they also talked about how they have the research and the data on this, that if you make changes in your lifestyle, those healthy changes will be stored on top of the genes and proteins, and it's called epigenetics, or what's on the surface, right?
Yep.
And your epigenetics, when you then have children, you reproduce, the epigenetics override the bad genes. I mean, it's not like 100%, but it is scientific. Oh, that's studied is. And they know that. And I'm like, that is, to me, such hope-building information. You know, I've already had my kids, but my kids could make changes that would then help them. So, you know, we've been sold this philosophy that, hey, if cancer runs in your family or heart disease runs in your family, there's nothing you can do about it. Hopefully you'll get lucky and escape it. But if it's in your genes, it's in your genes. Well, science says that you can make lifestyle changes and you can override those genes when you reproduce, and your kids can get this new epigenetic information and be healthier. Crazy, but true.
Amazing. We actually have a podcast guest. I'll link the episode in the show notes. It's called Preconception Prep, where she's a health coach who helps moms and dads to be. And she says, if you have the time, 6 months, at least 6 months is a perfect time for you to get yourself. And she talks all about your gut microbiome. Theme here. I think so. But so true. And I want to kind of wrap up the show a little bit. And I want to know, I mean, we talked wide topics today, all of which I know we're both super passionate about. Someone's interested, I mean, obviously watching the docuseries and following that inspiration of their heart and their spirit. But, you know, how can we take steps today to build a strong, healthy life for now, but also in the future?
I'll try to sum it up quickly in 5 points. So remember, I did 110 hours of interviews. Now I'm going to sum it up into 5 points in under 2 minutes. The first thing I learned was this: medicine does not promote health. It absolutely does not promote health. Medicine, pharmaceuticals, fights disease. So you have to find other things if you want to promote health. So medicine has its place. It can help you once you're sick to maybe get unsick, but it can't get you healthy. So if you want to live a healthy, long life, you have to look for something beyond medicine. Next important thing is that we live lives of excess. And when I say excess, we're eating way more than we need to. Some of the servings at restaurants, it's that individual serving could probably feed 4 people. But it's not just the excess of food intake, but it's the excess of electronics and screen time and too much social media and too much overstimulation and watching the news too much, where we're freaked out and anxiety. It's the excess of unforgiveness and harboring all of this bitterness and resentment in your life from people that hurt you in the past, and you're carrying that excess emotional baggage. So we really have to just stop hoarding emotional pain and overeating and overstimulating ourselves through too much time in media and stuff. So excess is a big one to deal with. The next one is connections. And I mentioned that your social connections, your family, your friends, and your spiritual connection, your life with your God, absolutely combats anxiety and stress. Dr. Francisco Contreras, who's my boss at Oasis of Hope Hospital, states it so beautifully. He says, spiritual fortitude fights the fear of cancer better than anything else. The next thing is healing foods. Just like Dean Ornish said that in studies, they've identified over 500 genes that are instantly turned on or off depending on the nutrients that you eat. And Dr. Michael Clapper said it. He said, you take a bite of food and instantly in that moment, the nutrients start playing your DNA like a piano. And I loved it because he made, in the documentary, you'll see him playing a piano, an air piano. So important. And then the last one is being active. And I already shared that story about these men in their 80s that were walking 12 miles a day. It's just a normal thing. And as we need to get out there, get a move on. And in this time of stay-at-home orders, you know, the best thing you can do, they all say, is breathe fresh air and get out to the outdoors where you're safe, socially distanced, where you can take off your mask, where you can get great oxygen and get a move on. And that's going to be probably the best way to get your mental health back after being so stressed and nervous about the pandemic.
Amen. And I have to say, side story, we got a dog over the pandemic. She's adorable, almost a year and a half old German Shepherd mix, but she has so much energy. And it just occurred to me, some days we walk over 12 miles and my body's tired and I'm like, holy crap. And that's just flat pavement, you know, sometimes grass, and these guys are up those mountains. Guys, that's that's a long hike. Like I've done some big hikes. I'm going to say Half Dome is a little bit longer than that. In Yosemite, like
for them, that's just their life. It's not an outing. Yeah. But you know, you said you're tired, but it's that good tired.
It's a good tired. Yeah.
Right. Which leads to restorative sleep. Whereas most of us are emotionally tired from the stress, and then we can't sleep well and get the restoration. So that stress is so important.
That's very, very true. Oh my gosh. I could talk to you for hours, Daniel. Thank you so, so, so much for coming on the show. Was there anything you wanted to wrap up in a nice little bow before we close out the show for today?
Well, thank you for what you're doing. And, you know, I've looked at a number and listened to a couple of your other podcasts, and you are bringing really solid information. You're giving a good perspective, but you are finding guests that can bring the science as well, because I don't think there should be a disconnect between science and warm, fuzzy things. I think that science can promote those warm, fuzzy feelings. Epigenetics, I'm like, that brings hope.
Yes, I know.
the science is there. But to like really wrap it up in a bow, healthy long life is kind of this buried treasure. There is just so much out there that you can easily miss it. But when you find it and you connect and you watch that documentary series, you're just going to realize that you found gold that's going to help you. And so if I could ask you to do one thing in return for me, and when you're blessed and you watch it, what could you do for Daniel Kennedy? I would say, could you share it with somebody else that needs this information? If you have found gold and it moves you, share it.
Amazing. Well said. Thank you. I was honored to have you on the show today. I cannot wait to finish binging your show. And again, there'll be a few episodes, I think new episodes in 2021 coming out when this comes out. So I'll make sure to link everything in the show notes. But thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much. And one of those episodes is going to be specifically on COVID-19 and what the experts are saying that you can do to reduce your risk of getting COVID-19 or to increase your ability to fight it and recover with a lot less consequences. And so I'm really, really excited to put that episode out early in 2021.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Lauren. Nice to meet you.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.